So there seems to be one pretty clear theme that resonates straight through Rav Hirsch's beginning comments on the parsha. And the very beginning of the parsha talks about that when a baby's born, Isha ki sazriya v'yalda zachar, when a woman gives birth to a baby and she gives birth to a baby boy, so she's tamei for 7 days. V'tama shivas yamim kimeini das tevosatitma v'yomashmini yimola basar l'so. So you have the following progression. You have 7 days of tuma when a baby boy is born. On the 8th day, of course, the baby gets his bris milah. And following the 8th day, then for 33 days, Pasuk Dalet, Shloshim Yom, Shloshim Yom, Teshe B'demei Tahara. So she bleeds for 33 days. Any of that bleeding for 33 days, that's all Dam Tohar. That's blood that's called pure blood. It doesn't make her Tame. B'chal Kodesh Lo Sigav, Al HaMakdash Lo Savo, Ad Melosi Mei Tahara. And if it's a female that's born, so she's 14 days of Tumah and 66 days of Tahara. And then, either on day 41 or on day 81, depending on if it's a boy or a girl, she brings two karbanos. Pasuk Vav, Tavi Keves Ben Shnoso Lola, she brings a sheep for an Ola, and a bird, a Ben Yonah Otar, turtle, dove, or a pigeon, as a karban chatas, at the conclusion of this cycle. And Rav Hirsch, basically most of this year this morning, is going to address what is the symbolism of this progression? What's the idea of this progression? So he has many, many beautiful ideas. And these are ideas that I have often spoken about. I didn't realize that Rav Hirsch says all these things, but they resonated very strongly with me. So let's begin. Lashon Tazria, Mitzuya Od Rak B'Bereishis. Tazria means is a language of the physiological process by which something is born. Kind of like the way trees, that's the only other place in Chumash you have it, in Bereishis, where it's describing the plant and the trees growing. Here, the Torah is using that word to show that the way a woman, obviously, and a man, create a child is on its face a purely physiological function. It's just a physiological process. That's the whole point of the tumah. This act of childbirth, which is the whole foundation of the human race, and the whole goal of womanhood is to bring the next generation of human beings into this world. This whole amazing act of creating another child is purely a physiological, physical act. Man is born and created very similar to the way that plants are created. The woman during childbirth, none of us can really know what this is, but the woman, that's what they tell us, during childbirth is subjected to painful physiological activities that are totally against her will. It's not against her will to have the child, but once she gets pregnant, there's nothing she could do. There's nothing that she did. It's against her will. So it's almost like she's held, during childbirth, the woman is held hostage to the physiological forces and hardships that nature places upon her. So says Rav Hirsch, that's why we subject the woman to 7 days of tumah for a male and 14 days for a female. That's why she has to go through the tumah. Why? Listen to these beautiful words. Mishum kach, aleha l'ra'anein ata, es todas yuda hamusari. That's why specifically during the time of childbirth, when the woman is subjected to painful physiological functions that are not in her control and against her will, we have to awaken in her a spiritual cognition. We have to awaken her that she has to recreate and rebirth and reawaken her spiritual values and goals. And rak mishatam haroshim achushani hazeh, only after 7 days have passed, when the influence of what she felt during these trying physiological times, tachzar el hamikdash mitoch nedah shel korban, then 7 days later, she has to return to the Beis HaMikdash with sacrifices to rededicate and rejuvenate her spiritual life. And he's gonna speak about this a lot more in depth. Bechiros musaris tekayim es yudak ke'isha ucha'em, al kol she'osav ha'kashos rabos ha'yisurin. Even with all the difficult times of the Jewish mother and the painful times of childbirth, she has to reawaken in herself the spiritual choices. As the physical world describes those that she doesn't have choices about, but she has to reawaken in herself the spiritual choices that she makes as a woman and as a mother. Let's continue. Asherlik, and similarly, Rav Hirsch continues. So what's the progression? Before most of you walked in, we talked about 7 days of the child is born, 7 days of Tumah, Bris Milah, 33 days of Dam Toar, Korban. What's the progression? So Rav Hirsch says so beautifully. Asherlik Kesher, Shebein Milah, Lebein Tumas Leda. What's the connection between Milah and Tumas Leda? Says Rav Hirsch, what's the connection? They are exactly one and the same thing. Harezaklau. Gemara says Masechta Shabbos. Kol she'imo t'mei aleida nimo l'shmona, v'chol she'inimo t'mei aleida nimo l'shmona. Shivas yimei tumah misayimim t'kuv shel matzav she'ish l'skaber alav. The 7 days of tumah complete the time period of a situation that you have to overcome. Adam yotzi mechla niver natal cheres. A person goes out of being a something created that does not have freedom of choice. Vanasa, that's symbolized by the number 6, says Rav Hirsch. Vanasa adam bal cheres. 7 symbolizes your ability, your free choice that you have to act in this earth. Why he says that, I'm not 100% sure. I don't want to spend time elaborating on it now. Ve'inu zochel l'kach el mitoch bris im Hashem. But this is what I do want to speak about. Ve'ilu b'yom hashmini. So, as he's talked about, again, 7 means nature. The world's created in 7 days. 7 is about nature, but refers specifically further elaborates that 6 is the part of nature that's not in your control, and 7 symbolizes what is in your control. But eight, v'ilu b'yom hashmini, hu nolad mechadash l'man ha'tafkid ha'yehudi. So 7 symbolizes nature, the physical world, and 8 symbolizes starting the process of 7 over again, but on a higher octave, as you're going to see him beautifully speak about. On a spiritual, 7 symbolizes your physical creation, and then 8 is when we recreate you spiritually. Look what he says. Le'edazuhi ha'yisod ha'cheres ha'elokis shel ha'adam. Letzorach kiyum na'ala yoser. Shel yiros ha'cheres. Hayom ha'shmini hu chazara l'yom ha'rishom. The 8th day is like starting day 1 over again, but just on a higher plane. So the idea of Bris Milah on the 8th day, says our verses, you're basically starting creation over again, but in the spiritual realm, as opposed to the physical realm. Kiviyachol, who active, shel hayom arishon, shel haleida hagufanis. Listen to that, unbelievable. If you're not familiar with music and music theory, you will not understand that. I assume you you understand do re mi fa sol la ti do, right? You heard of do re mi fa sol la ti do? You heard of that? You know about that, right? You watch the Sound of Music, so you know something about that. So if you're not a music person, I am a music person, so I'm, you know that music works in octaves. Music works in groups of eight. Do, re, mi, fa, so, la, ti, do. Right? A musical scale is eight notes. Says Rav Hirsch, the Bris Milah is connected to the musical scale. Just like every musical scale, do,
do,
do is the same note, just one octave higher. How many have I lost already, right? Do,
do.
That's the same note.
Do.
It's the exact same note, just one octave higher. Says that's eight notes higher, is one octave higher, for those who know music theory. So I'm getting a lot of blank stares. But so in a similar way, says of Hirsch, Bris is on the eighth day because you're starting the whole life over, but on the spiritual plane as opposed to the physical plane.
Why Hirsch just didn't pick up on Kabbalah? For Kabbalah, the number eight is above.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I think he's hinting. In his non-Kabbalistic way, he's hinting to the same idea. Ata koach ha-kfiya shel chukei ha-teva, sheniskala be'emu b'nai, and he's going to keep on talking about this more. The forced, the power of nature, which we can't control. Nature just goes on. The koach ha-kfiya shel chukei ha-teva, sheniskala, that's revealed, be'emu b'nai, by the mommy and baby, b'shas ha-leida ha-gufanis, during the actual physical birth, which is a purely physical act. Garam la'emus shiva yimei tumas aleda. That's what causes the mom to have the 7 days of tuma, as of Hirsch just explained. And this very self same reason, the siba zu atzma doreshas gam biyachas leben the mikrim gilum hashlamas shiva yamim lufnei kiyam mitzvas mila. So it's a beautiful progression. If you read the beginning of Parashat Tazria, this is exactly what the pesukim seem to indicate. Again, just look at the pesukim, right? Ishaki says we have zachar. She's tummy for 7 days. At first glance, what's the connection? 7 days of tumah on the eighth day. The mom is tummy for 7 days, and the boy gets the bris on the eighth day. What's the connection? So Rav Hirsch says, mom is exactly the same thing. It's to take this physical act of birth and give it a spiritual beginning. Now, I like to add that, you know, it's to make sure in when you get caught up in this whole birth thing, the miracle of birth, you realize that you have a job with the child. There's a job. The job is to give the child a life of tahara. You know, when you're so overwhelmed, it's like intoxicating. You know, to be able to be part of this creation of another human being, it's like, you know, you feel like you're literally God. You brought a human being into the world. It's like there's no greater powerful feeling. But Rav Hirsch is saying, but at the end of the day, it's a physical thing. So it's easy for you to get caught up. So we place the tumah on the mom to say, hey, your job, don't get all caught up in the physical birth of this child. Your job is to, and he's going to speak about this in a moment, to set for this child a spiritual agenda in life, a spiritual path in life. That's your primary job. That's the bris, and that's the tumah. But look how he's going to explain it even more clearly. And he says, Rav Hirsch says, I'm going to allow myself one more machshava about this. You know, don't get sick of what I keep on writing to you. I want to allow myself one more thought about this. Mitzvahs mila ksuva be'emtza hilchos tuma. Umafsikas akesh arasu shebeinim. Right, Rabosai, you have 7 days of tuma, bris mila, then 33 days of dam tohar, of the blood of purity. So like, the bris milah actually kicks off the tahara days, the blood of tahara. V'nira mikan shehikshur iman bekesher amok, that there's a deep connection between the bris milah and the purity. Hagabatzmacha, it literally means touch yourself, but it means like, oh, look at yourself, analyze this, take a step back for a second. Shezu mashma'ot haksuvim b'meshach shivas yom harei ha'emi tmeya, for 7 days the mom is tamei. B'yom hashmini hayelad nimo. The 7 days of tumah of the mom is the introduction for the eighth day of milah. And the eighth day finishes the first stage of Mam's Tum. Uposech is Machzara Tahara. That opens up the Tara. Ki mitzvah mila, he tnai hayisod shel yachas habris ben Hashem liYisrael. The mitzvah of mila is the foundational condition of the relationship of the covenant between God and the Jewish people. Vizu drisha samin adam, and this is what the mitzvah of mila asks for man. Alav l'shabed is gufo, b'cheirus musaris, l'ratzon Hashem b'lemitzvah sav. It is upon man to conquer and to subjugate his body with his free choice, with his moral free choice to God's commandments and to God's mitzvos. And now Rav Hirsch says two very beautiful ideas of which I have spoken about many times. Then again, you and I have been learning together for a lot of years. You've heard me talk about this a lot of times. The next pieces I found particularly beautiful. And he's going to answer two questions in this piece. Well, really one question with two themes, two messages. First of all, why is the tumah twice as long for the female than for the male? When the male is born, the mom's tummy 7 days. When the female mom is born, 14 days. That's one. And number two, he identifies the differences between the daddy's role and the mommy's role in one particularly poignant observation, which I've spoken about many times, and I even tweeted about it. I'm probably going to get in trouble for tweeting about it. But I have to say what I think is the truth anyway, even if I'm going to get in trouble for it. You're not going to think I'm going to get in trouble for it, but in the Twitterverse, I'm going to get in trouble for it. Biyoma Mila, listen to what Rav Hirsch says. Hare ha'av mekayem esarishonim mitzvos haben ala'av. On the day of the bris milah, the daddy performs his first job with the child. Until now, it was all mommy. Ba'usasha, hu gomer b'dato l'hachinas b'no l'chaye asido. At that moment of the bris milah, the daddy decides to prepare his son to take the first step into preparing his son for his future. Yichanechoso, with this act of mila, the father is being mechanech his child lehesalech lefnei Hashem v'lios tamim imnos en haTorah, an obvious play on Avram Avinu's on Hashem's words to Avram Avinu before Avram's bris mila, hesalech lefanai v'heye tamim. Af hu ya'ir lefanav v'yela mofes bedarko. So Rav Hirsch admonishes and addresses the father of the bris mila, the father of the Rachanimol, and maybe we could say the grandfather also, the father of the Rachanimol, right? We're all holding by, I'm with you. I'm with you on this. We're holding in the stage of grandfather. But, so afu yar lefan of yil amofis pedarko. The fact that bris milah is a mitzvah on the daddy, obviously the kid can't do it on himself, but the symbolism is, daddy, you got to know, you are the child's role model. You are this boy's role model. Once you have a child, you're no longer playing just for yourself. You're playing for two. That child is going to watch your every move, your every action, that boy. Particularly, your first is going to say. The Torah is addressing the daddies. That boy is going to watch your every nuance, your every move. You know, I'm sure I mentioned to you that Rav Schechter at the Wayu Chag HaSmicha addressed, he does this at every Chag HaSmicha, he addressed the rabbis, the future rabbis to be. And he told the rabbis, you rabbis have to know. He basically said, if you open a sefer during Chazaras Hashatz, your balabatim are going to read the newspaper during Chazaras Hashatz. That's what he said to them. He said to them, the rabbis have to be very, very careful, because you have to realize if you take certain liberties, your balabatim are going to take 20 times worse than what you do. You have to be a role model to them. You have to take upon yourself to live at a higher plane, because the Baal HaBatim are going to say, if the rabbi can do this, well, then I can do 20 times worse. Well, on a level of a father, and for the purposes of this year, we're going to say grandfather. On the level of a father, a father has to know that he's the role model for the son, and whatever liberties a father takes, the son is going to take it and run with it. I always find that the little things that I do wrong, I've said this many times, the little things that I do wrong, my kids take him times 20. You know, so the kid will find the littlest thing that you do. But that's just the way it is. It's not fair, but that's the way. Rav Hirsch just mentions here that how important the role model relationship between father and son is. But what about a daughter? Look what he says. Ve'ilu b'leilas habas. However, when a daughter is born, nichpal orech haderech hamevi lichlal tahara. However, when it comes to the birth of a daughter, it's doubled. Now, he doesn't say clearly here, I have to give you a little background. Nichpal orech haderech hamevi lichlal tahara. It's the path that brings you to tahara is doubled. V'yesh b'kach kadeh lahachdeh lalev ha'em es kol rumalas tafkidah. The point of this is to impress upon the mom how important is her tafkid? Sharei alah lios mofis v'dugma l'misha asida lios isha b'Yisrael. She has to be the role model for the woman who's going to have to be the role model, who's going to have to give birth to the future Jews. Achein, hashpa'as ha'em ma'alasa ha'musaris shel bita hi kiflayim ka'hashpa'asa al-bina. The hashpa'a on the mom, on her daughter, is double the hashpa'a that she has on the son. Again, I'm going to have to explain the math here for a second. I'm going to explain the math in 1 minute. But let's first read what he says, and then I'm going to explain. There's a big piece missing that you can't understand the math. I have to give you the piece that's missing. But he says that the influence of the mom on the daughter is double her influence on the son. Sham, by the son, merkaz hakovet shel chinuch hu ba'av. The central weight... of the chinuch is in the daddy. Shari habanim ro'im bo, the sons, the view in the daddy, dugma u'mofet l'tafkid ha'gavri shalahem. They view in the daddy a dugma, an example, and a mofes for the male role, right? They hopefully see daddy learning Torah, they see daddy being the role model of the house, and running the house on Shabbos, and they see daddy as being the spiritual role model for them. V'ilu etzel habanos, ha'em hi gam ma'atzeves ofi, v'gam mofes v'dugma. The mommy is the one who is the dugma and also the trainer. Mishum kach b'shas leidas and hitis konim b'kiflayim. Therefore, when the daughter is born, the woman has to have a double tuma, l'tovasa u'l'tovasan, for her own purity and for the purity of her child. Now there's one piece missing over here. He didn't really explain. So why is it double for the? Because it doesn't. So he basically adds in that the boy has the bris milah. I don't have it on the sheet, but in other words, the boy has the bris milah to purify the boy. So the woman doesn't have the bris milah. So the mom has the double tumah. The one tumah is to remind her to be the role model, but the double tumah is in place of the bris milah that the boy has. So the mom has 7 days of tumah when the boy is born, because the 7 days of tumah are for the mom's purity, and then the bris milah is for the child. But by the girl, the extra 7 days of tumah for the girl is what takes the place of the bris milah for the boy. That's the way Rav Hirsch understands it symbolically. So again, there's two ideas here. Number one, Rav Hirsch stresses, and this is such a horrifying, but mussar for all of us in positions of leadership in the family, parents, grandparents, about the father with the son and the mother with the daughter, but also. Just highlighting the importance of when the child is born, about the responsibilities of parents in terms of trying to set a course of Tara. We all know how challenging and difficult this is. But this is our job. Our job is to, and as parents, we have to review our primary role as trying to be that spiritual guide for the children about their midos, how to train their midos, how to train their deos. Very, very challenging perspective, challenging job. But this is our role model here that Rav Hirsch stresses, and he concludes it. He concludes this discussion. This is going to be the end of this discussion, the very last piece. Because what does the mom conclude this whole thing with? She has to bring sacrifices. Now, interesting, the Torah lists the Ola sacrifice first. Take a look at Pasuk Vav. Uvimlos yimei Torah levein olavas, either on day 41 for a boy's birth or on day 81 for a girl's birth, Tavi keves ben shenaso la'ola, she has to bring a sheep, a one-year-old sheep for an Ola, and a bird for a chatas. Then you know so the chatas. Says of Hirsch, it's interesting. We know that you bring the chatas bird first before the ola. So why does the Torah list the ola first? Says of Rav Hirsch so beautifully. Yesh lahaktam chatas of l'neder ola. Shekin kol makam she'olu v'chatas karevos ka'achas. Harei achatas kodemes. The bird chatas always comes first. B'terem yakdish es masav l'Hashem. Before you, the girl, the woman, the mom, can dedicate her actions to Hashem, which is symbolized by the carbon ola, before she can bring that carbon ola to dedicate the actions to Hashem, yitar tchila mikalos das v'chol shavu saris. First, she has to purify herself, and Rav Hirsch here, I think, is alluding to the statement of the Gemara of why a yoledes has to bring a chatas, because through all that pain that she went through in childbirth, right? The Gemara says when the woman goes through the pain of childbirth, she mutters under her breath, "I'm never going to do this again." She mutters under her breath. And during the screams of the pain of childbirth, she expresses the feeling that she complains. Which we're not blaming her, Chas V'Shalom, for complaining. Get thrown out of my house. I don't mean for that. We don't blame the woman for complaining. But this whole process is to the chatas is just to help clear out of her system first any lingering thoughts of like anger or complaint or sin, which the Gemara talks about, which is related to what, you know, the feelings of distance from Hashem that she feels during childbirth, during the pain of childbirth. And then right away, to bring afterwards the carbon ola as the culmination of this spiritual process of birth and tumah and tara, she brings the carbon. Yirchatz b'nikayon kapa v'achachach yirotzu masav yosur meira. Like the pasuk says, "Sur meira va'asei tov." First, get rid of the bad, then do the good. Ulam, asiyas atov hi hamatara. It is the doing of good that's the goal. Umishum kach hiskirkan es haola tchila. That's why the Torah mentions the ola first, even though the chatas is actually brought first, because the goal of it is the ola. That's the way Rav Hirsch gets out of the problem. That was some sentence he just said. I'll try to say it again slowly. Shekein hahitkadmut v'ha'aliya el ma'alat tafkid ha'chayim b'hakara v'masim. He had nigod a chiyuvi l'kniyah chesres ratzon l'koach hafizi shel kviyas hateva. I'm going to try to read you that line in English here. I know. Let me read it to you in English. Listen to this. Advancement and ascent to the height of one's task in life, in consciousness and action, is the positive antithesis of passive submission to the compelling physical forces of nature.
Doesn't work in English.
Here, can you read that again?
Hear it in German. Yeah, a chance.
I'll try to translate it. Again, he's just basically saying how our physical nature, you can't control your bodily functions, you know, the grass, the way the grass grows, the way the physical nature of this world is out of your control. And, you know, your spiritual actions that you do are the exact antithesis of the spiritual choices. The choices that you make to go to a shir, to say kiddush, to daven, to all the spiritual choices that a person makes in life are the exact antithesis of the physical realities that are against his will, that he has no choice in. And that's what's symbolized by the bringing of this karban. The bringing of this sacrifice of the woman, the karban ola that she brings, which is a spiritual act of dedicating her life to Hashem, a choice that she makes to bring this karban ola and dedicate the act spiritually to Hashem, is the exact antithesis of the feelings that she's felt of that the birth of the child, which was a physical act that was against her will, that she had no choice in. Again, she obviously had choice to engage in the marital relations, but she didn't have the choice to have the pain, exactly, the pain and the whole process. This is zelu umazeh. This is to contradict those feelings of helplessness that Rav Hirsch says that she has during childbirth. Ah, see again. Maybe I'll read the next piece in English. I'll read the next piece in English. Okay. Her chatas, however, Herbie, is a chatas ha'of. It's a bird chatas, for she just now experienced helpless suffering. Helpless suffering, which is symbolized by the bird. The bird symbolizes helplessness. Why is a bird symbolized helplessness? So Rav Hirsch explains that earlier by the bird chatas. Hence, she was in danger of losing all of her tahara. She was liable to lose sight of the challenge of moral freedom. Namely, not to lose this freedom even in times of suffering. Oh. This is what I spoke about in my Hashkafa Shmuz last night, about Yom HaShoah leading into Yom HaAtzmaut. The days of suffering that come with her life's calling. Listen to this beautiful, powerful statement of Rav Hirsch. The days of suffering that come with her life's calling will not break her moral strength. Rather, she will undertake and endure the suffering out of a sense of duty, and for the sake of her exalted task. She will maintain her moral willpower so as to fulfill this task, and in this way transform the passiveness of suffering itself into active moral energy. Wow. Says Rav Hirsch, this is childbirth, and this is bringing the karban after childbirth. It's a message to the woman. it's a message to the woman. I can't say it to real. There are women who listen to the shir online. They talk to me about it all the time. I have to be very careful. I have to be very careful what I say, but I have to be very careful not to use the language that men are accustomed to say about this. But it's a message to the woman to be strong through the dark times, through the dark pain of birth, and to elevate yourself to the moral calling of your life's job, even through those dark times. And in a certain sense, and by the way, that's what Rav Hirsch is going to say. I don't know if I'm going to have time to get to it, about Tzaras. Also, you know, he says the white of Tzaras symbolizes death. Mitzoras chashuv kemes. And the idea is that, you know, when you lower yourself to certain, you know, the sins, so you have to figure out a way to elevate yourself from that time.
And
someone who has no children is also correct. So just to summarize this whole part, and we only have 3 minutes left, but
in the 3 minutes left, the whole rest of the summarize the whole part again is what we've been saying, speaking about how the woman is supposed to take this dark time of her life and through this process of tuma, bris, 33 days of tara, karbanos, supposed to flip the cycle on its side and restart her life and actually take this experience and strengthen herself with the awesomeness of what she did and the awesomeness of what she had the power to do, and that should somehow, I don't want to use the word offset, but that should recalibrate the feelings of pain and helplessness that she has during childbirth about the pain, to give her the moral fiber and energy to set her course, the spiritual course of her life and her child's life going forward. That's what the whole process is supposed to do. Now, we don't have the time to go through the rest of it. You're going to have to... Baruch Hashem, there's a very long Shabbos afternoon. Very long Shabbos afternoon. We used to talk about the long Friday nights. Now we talk about the long Shabbos afternoon. And I just have to summarize it. Just the bold parts. Right? Rav Hirsch points out how so many people think that Tzaras is all about a physical ailment. And he goes through like 10 proofs, of which I've listed for you about 5. About how tzaras cannot possibly be a physical ailment. Well, first of all, the biggest reason people think that is, what do we do to the guy? Send him out of the machna. Oh, he's contagious. Make sure nobody catches it. Rav Hirsch says, that's ridiculous. And who are the Kohanim? They're the doctors. The Kohanim are the doctors to see whether or not he has the physical out. He says, that's terrible. That's totally not true. And he has a bunch of proofs about this. First of all, we don't see Negayim by a wedding week, and when everyone's getting together at the Chasen Kalim, we don't see Negayim on Yontif. He says, what do you mean? That's the time that everyone's getting together. That's the time that you have the most chance of spreading the disease, and yet that's the one time that we don't see it. So he says, that's not the pshat. Look at the bottom of page 3 in the bold. Shikulim Eilev HaChayotze Be'elad, many other proofs. Mevi Imanu L'chlal Maskana Berura. You have to have a clear conclusion here. E.F. Shekla Loma Sheperek Zedan Beripui Machlos of a Miniyasan. Don't tell me, Rav Hirsch has literally about a 12-page essay on this. Don't tell me that this is about a physical ailment. Ein lahalos aladas shahakohanim amalam tafki b'miskeret sheirutea hatavura, that the Kohanim are the doctors of the people in seeing the Negayim. Rather, he says, the whole idea of Negayim can be summarized in 2 Pesukim in Dvarim. V'kach nem Hashem, Hishamar b'nega atzaras lishmar mor v'lasot k'chala shi'oreskem ha'kon ha'ovim kashat zizim tishmur lasos. And what's the very next Pasuk? Zachar es asher asar shalach l'miriam v'derach v'teis tamim Mitzrayim. That's the key. Right? Miriam spoke Lashon Hara. These 2 Pesukim are right next to each other. Look at the bold on the bottom. Kach yesh lo'avin es atzaras shenishlcha me'es Hashem. It is a social sin. Asher kemos shehum b'tuar lefanenu hu gam lashon hara v'gam gaiva. Lashon hara and gaiva. The root of all evil is gaiva. Arrogance is the root of all sins. Me'ata kol nega taras hapogea b'adam Yisrael yaskelo as hama'ora. The happening. She nisnasta bo Miriam. That Miriam was tested. Mitoch kach, right, nisayon. Mitoch kach yavoli de shmira kapdanit shel ha-halachot ha-nogaot badavar. The goal is for man to be very, very careful on watching himself in his interactions between man and man. To be very, very careful about this. Ksamim levanim, like I spoke to you before, the white patches, shekulam amokim yor basar adam benoni, aleim hichrez Hashem kaal mivasrei charon apo, ulefika chigder osem b'diyuk kedei lahavdil beinam levein shar machlos or. Or shehil bin yachal horos al misa chalakit shel adam. It's like a partial death. Hu meruchak me Hashem, hamechayek kol chai, mitzor chashiv kibes. Or shehil bin yachal horos gam al halbanas parim. So the whiteness is two things. It symbolizes death, and it symbolizes embarrassment. Halbanat panim. Embarrassment. Yeah. Well, how does white symbolize death? In other words,
they bury you, right?
You're pale. Oh, well, you bury you in the kittel. A shroud could be. But also, the body turns pale. Turns the blood leaves the body. The ruddiness, the ruddy complexion leaves. Symbolizes death because you've both removed yourself from the people socially, but you've also distanced yourself from God by speaking this way about people. And the last point, kach yuvan she'en ro'en negah beregel. That's why we don't see a nega on yantiv or v'shivas yemei amishteh. Chayru v'iyas hakom v'totzeh heim emtsay musarim shel ha'anasha v'tikun. Mi she'yesh bo nega aton b'dika mis'orim b'libo hir hor b'al chesron osav. Ba'alav l'chapes chesron osav b'snagusa ha'chavratish she'ad ko. In other words, he says, dafka during these times, like at a chasna, at a wedding, you come together with a lot of people, that's the time where we're trying to give people the chance to fix the problems in the chevra. On yantif, when you come together with mishpacha, when you go out, you make aliyah l'regel, you come together with all the Jewish people, we don't, if you have a nega, that was a sign to you, you have that white thing, don't go to the kohen then. You have the white thing, take the mussar on your own during those, specifically those times and when you're together with chevra. As he said before, the fact that we don't see the garm on yantif, that's if it was because it was contagious, that would be the most important time to make sure when you're around everybody, go to the kohen, make sure you, if you're contagious, chuck you out of the machne. No. The goal is to fix your social relationships. So specifically when everyone's coming together for a wedding or when everyone's coming together for yantif, that's the time when you have that white thing on your thing, don't go to the kohen. Use that as a lesson to fix your social relationships. Okay, that was standing on one foot. Hopefully we can learn when we listen to this parasha, we can take the mussar to, especially during this time of Sfiras HaOmer. Sfiras HaOmer was supposed to be working on our midos. Achtus, the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva passed away now, Shalonagu, Kavod Zebazah, working on our midos to prepare for Mamad Har Sinai, Haba Aleinu Latova, as well as to realize that our role in life as grandparents, our role as parents and grandparents, is to train the next generation to always be focused on Tahara, to always be focused on not just looking at the physical world, but realizing that there's a spiritual world. May Hashem give us the Siyata Deshmaya to continue to influence the next generation, Latov, until one day we'll actually have again the days of Tumah V'Tahara, when the Beis HaMikdash will hopefully be rebuilt. B'mehera v'yameinu, amen v'amen. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Does anybody want to say Kaddish?